warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with my partner in crime, co-host, best friend, David Niles.
Yo.
Dave, this is going to be an exciting episode, because as long as our audio works out for us.
Yeah, it doesn't short out on us again.
Doesn't short out on us. We have a special guest with us today.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus is with us, and his mother. Yes. And then we also have another special guest.
Yes.
So would you like to introduce him, or you want me to?
Yeah, I'll introduce him. We have the Catholic gentleman. Sam Guzman is here with us.
Yeah, Sam, welcome, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Sam just moved into Oklahoma recently. A couple months ago?
Yes, I was drawn by some mystical compulsion to be close to the epicenter of all manliness. Mm-hmm.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
Wanted to get close to the man show.
Yeah, I mean, I was just drawn by, and then when I realized that you were here, I was like, it all makes sense.
The epiphany moment.
Yes.
This is awesome. So if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. Dave, you want to let them know what it is?
The three things that we do: we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Mm-hmm. We highlight a man gear. Mm-hmm. Something that every Catholic man should have and use. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have a manly discussion on a topic of manhood.
You need to scoot in a little bit for the camera. We're also videoing this. So you should check us out on our YouTube page, because this will be on our YouTube page as well.
For your viewing pleasure.
Yeah. And the reason why we do these, Dave, is because we try to highlight virtue that men should have for each segment, mm-hmm. right? So for this first segment, men enjoy the finer things in life. Men enjoy sitting down and talking with one another and having a nice drink, and it's important to promote the moderation side of things, especially in society today that does not do any sort such thing
right.
as promote moderation. But then the second part is whatever the man gear is we try to highlight a virtue and with that man gear, and mm-hmm, then mm-hmm. leak into the man topic, which is virtuous.
That's right.
So, Sam, the scotch that we have today, we have a scotch.
Big surprise.
Yeah. We typically like scotch. But this one is a very special scotch. It is one that I found, and it was a little bit out of my price range, but I pulled the trigger.
Throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, so this isn't one that it's a little bit pricier than what we normally highlight on the Man Show, but it fits perfectly with what we're going to be doing today and having a guest. Dave and I have talked about the love of Laphroaig.
Yes.
For a long time. In fact, Dave, tell him the birthday or the Christmas present I got you.
Well, I posted it on our Friends of the Show page, and it was very, very popular. You got me a Laphroaig Christmas sweater, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So
was it an ugly sweater?
No.
Well, it's kind of like mimicking the ugly sweater.
Yeah,
it's
kind of in the style of ugly sweater.
And
right,
more gentlemanly.
But like, mm-hmm. okay. Yeah, totally manly.
And it has says Laphroaig across the breast, and then right below it says like opinions welcome. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the YouTube video of people trying Laphroaig?
I haven't. No.
Oh man, you got to go onto YouTube.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and look it up, because they just sit down a bunch of random people, and have them try Laphroaig. And Laphroaig is a very peaty whiskey. It's a very peaty scotch. Mm-hmm. It has distinct flavor, and so some people really enjoy it, and some people absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
So
I hated it the first time I tried it.
Yeah, the first time it was tough. It was tough for me, but it's something that you warm up to.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So the one we're trying today, I'm grabbing it so that way you can also see it on the video. But it's Laphroaig Caridos, and it's a 200th anniversary edition for the Friends of Laphroaig. And so, Caridos means friendship in Gaelic.
You don't say.
And so I thought, what a great opportunity to have this on the show with an additional friend with us.
This says, by appointment to the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, so...
on the bottle.
So every year they do a specific type of make of scotch, like a special edition.
Okay.
Laphroaig does.
I'm going to pour it while you do
Pour us up. And this is a 2015, which is the 200th anniversary of when it started. And the distiller, John Campbell, he distilled it only in the small stills, which is fully matured in their famous number one warehouse, which is right by the sea. And he does that because he wants to produce it as like it is distilled 200 years ago. So as a result, this is a unique expression of a savored by Friends of Laphroaig, old and new. And so anyway, we always cheer, so we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. And all gentlemen everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So on the nose, it's initially hints of sweet apple, red apple.
Yeah.
Is what it's called. Moving quickly with a char smell. The rock salt follows by creamy seaweed and dried apricots, and then a dry, lingering finish.
Creamy seaweed.
Mm, yeah.
Yummy.
But
Hey, Japanese would like it. They eat seaweed for breakfast.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, they do.
If we have any Japanese listeners, you know, you will enjoy this whiskey.
And turns out the Japanese make good whiskey.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So what I like about this one, okay, so the color for the video, the color is a lot lighter than typical Laphroaig.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that stands out to me in this one is the after. It's a very salt. You get a salt taste
mm-hmm.
at the very end, which is not typical of Laphroaig. You know, you get the peatiness, you get the smoke, you get the this one has a little bit more sweeter taste as well. I think the dried mm-hmm. apples, but the end is really interesting because it's a salt.
Yeah. You can, like, taste the waves crashing against the craggy Scottish shore.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. I would love to go to Scotland, stand on, like, some mountain cliff overlooking the, you know, like, windy ocean, and just drink a glass of this.
That'd be sweet.
I'm going to do it someday.
I hope I can.
Wear your sweater, because it will be cold and it will be damp.
Yes.
Have you been there?
No.
Okay.
I went to England, but not Scotland. But one of these days, I will go there. And I will pay my way by playing my bagpipes. It'll be very romantic.
You play bagpipes?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, do you know Deacon Kevin Sartorius?
No.
He lives kind of out towards your direction, but his kids play the bagpipes. He just posted a video.
He's the executive director of the Catholic Charities here in Tulsa.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, well, I'll introduce you later.
All right.
So, Sam, real quick, we have just a couple minutes. Tell them how they can get a hold of you. Tell them a little bit about the Catholic Gentleman.
Sure. The Catholic Gentleman, you can find us online at thecatholicgentleman.com or catholicgentleman.net, either one. And then on Facebook, it's just facebook.com/thecatholicgentleman, instagram.com/catholicgentleman, and twitter.com/catholicgent. So, check us out, and I'm sure you'll find something you like on the website. Facebook, Instagram, we post lots of cool images with great quotes from saints and awesome black and white pictures. So,
in fact,
old ones.
Yeah, in fact, you've compiled all those and made a book out of it. Be not afraid.
Well, no, it's not actually, it doesn't have any images in it,
okay.
Which maybe in the second edition we'll include some images, but it is a quote book with many of the awesome quotes from the saints, specifically male saints, those great men of faith who kind of show us what holiness looks like. So it's a great book. It's got a 5-star review on Amazon, so check it out. Look it up on Amazon, Be Not Afraid, a book of quotes for Catholic men. So
sweet. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And you have some upcoming projects as well that they'll be able to check out as you post on your website, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Good. And Rugged Rosary. talk about Rugged Rosie real quick.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking for an absolutely indestructible rosary that can be used as a weapon in case
literally.
Of necessity, or it can, you know, you could use it as a winch and like tow your car with it. You know, this thing is like the most indestructible rosary ever. Made by Rugged Rosaries. It's called the Catholic Gentleman Rosary. You can find it on my website, catholicgentleman.net, or you can go to cordbands.com and you can find it there as well. But it is a truly epic rosary. I think you'll enjoy it.
No kidding. It
really
weighs like
heavy.
A pound and a half.
Yeah, yeah. It's very heavy. Very heavy, very durable. And the crucifix has got some relic dirt from the catacombs. So it's really cool. I think you'll like it. So look it up.
Yeah. And I'm sure all of our listeners, if they're listening to us, they probably already know all of this with the Catholic Gentleman.
That's what I was going to say. I think like probably 90% of our listeners are, they know exactly who Sam is.
Right.
But.
So, but for those maybe one or two people who just stumbled upon our podcast, there you go.
Yeah. check out thecatholicgentleman.com.
That was for you. Mm-hmm. So let's see. We don't have time to talk about
friends. We've just got a few seconds.
Okay. I was going to talk about friends of the show, but the Catholic Man Show Glencairnglass is pretty sweet to have on this Laphroaig.
No doubt. As with all whiskey,
this
really.
Laphroaig actually has a five star review on maltmasters.com. So one of the only ones that I've seen. So anyway, when we get back, we'll talk about the man gear. We're here with Sam Guzman of the Catholic Gentleman. We are on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and Sam Guzman, the Catholic Gentleman. Mm-hmm. We are enjoying a fine glass of Laphroaig Caridas. Did I say that? Caridas?
Caridas, yeah.
Which means friendship.
In Gaelic.
And it's fantastic.
It is possibly my favorite Laphroaig that I've had. I haven't had the Laphroaig Lore yet, which is like their really nice... But it's also like a $140 bottle of scotch.
Come on, bro. You got the cash?
No, I don't have any of that. So,
you'll save that for the next time I'm on the show, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All right. All yeah. Right. I'll be here.
Next week.
Next week, yeah. but it is really good. David, you and I have talked about this, and I'd like to get Sam's opinion, too, on the finishing of whiskeys. You know, I don't want it to just... go away quickly. I want that finish to kind of linger.
Yeah.
And not just evaporate mm-hmm. immediately. And this one does that.
Totally. Absolutely.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I think, you have to enjoy scotch slowly and it takes a little more refinement to appreciate. Is because, it's not like a Red Bull where you're just like chugging it, you really want to get that full effect of the flavor. And yeah, the aftertaste is, one of the important parts of tasting whiskey is, too, it's funny because like even coffee, like a lot of people talk about how nasty the aftertaste of coffee is. But if you're drinking a really good coffee, it has a pleasant aftertaste. And this too, it just kind of lingers. And like we were saying, you can really taste that salty sea air mm-hmm. almost. Mm-hmm. And it's really a key part of it. So it's not just that initial flavor in your mouth, but that aftertaste too is really, really key. So mm-hmm. I'm loving it. This is the first time I've had this Caridas, but it's excellent.
Have you had the other Laphroaigs?
I have not yet.
Okay.
No.
Well, we were talking on in between breaks that I'm gonna let them have a little bit of the Laphroaig Select as well to mm-hmm. give them a little bit of perspective.
Yeah.
But anyway, you want to get to the gear?
Yeah, so the man gear today is a weekly, a missile.
Mm-hmm. Boom. That's mine.
book, an actual book. That's the man gear. Because there's all kinds of apps that you can use that mm-hmm. have the missile in them. But there's just something that just it doesn't feel right about having your phone out during Mass.
Yeah.
You know I mean?
Yeah,
if I
do. I've seen people do it, but, you know, at the same time, like we were saying before, during the break, you get a notification in the middle of Mass, an email or a Facebook notification, and immediately your attention is just shot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just, there's no recovering from that.
Yeah, because you're sitting there thinking about, well, I wonder what that is about. You know, or if it's an email, then it's like, oh, I gotta respond to that as soon as after I get out of Mass. How am I going to respond to
it? Yeah, what am I going to say?
Yeah. I'm a guy who, during Mass, when I go to daily Mass, I have to have the words in front of me in the readings because I just can't focus on the words just listening.
Squirrel.
Yeah, I'm super ADD with reading it. And so with the listening. So the missal gives me opportunity to follow along and stay focused, and that's why I like it as well.
And too, it's a way to really encounter beauty, if you will, because I have a missal at home. It's got these beautiful illustrations in it and like line drawings, and it's just a way of encountering the beauty of the Catholic faith once again. You know, if you open it up for those daily readings and you see a beautiful illustration or something too, which isn't always possible in an app, you know, immediately, but it draws your mind and heart to God and kind of draws you into that worshipful, prayerful mode. Mm-hmm. And that can be really important as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's just something about having a book in your hands. You know, I have a Kindle at home and it's got thousands of books on it. But there's just something about having a tangible, physical book where you can feel the pages and
even the smell of a book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to choose between a Kindle and a book, you had the same books on a Kindle and a book, I'm choosing the book every single time.
Well, the Kindle will read it for you.
In that beautiful robot voice. Yeah. You know?
Someday we'll just be able to download books to our brain.
Yeah.
That'll be, so much better.
No.
Oh,
yeah. No, not at all. Not at all.
Then we can skip all the hard parts. No, but Sam, you go to the Latin Mass parish here, and you were telling us, you know, attending the Latin Mass, the Missal is a much more crucial thing than the Novus Ordo.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
So what do you like to use it for?
Well, I really like that the Missal gives you that sense of a liturgical time. You know, there's these major feasts that kind of anchor the year, you know, Epiphany and Pentecost, Advent as a season, Lent. But when you have a missal and you can see literally where in the book things are, and it just really draws you into the liturgical year, in my experience anyway. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Mass is in Latin, so if you want to understand the readings, it is helpful to have a reference book to see those readings side by side. Many of the missals have the Latin on one side and mm-hmm. The English on one side. And of course, I don't know Latin, so having the Latin there for a layman isn't necessarily that useful. But at the same time, it is it can be a powerful thing to know that, you know, these are the same words that maybe Saint Ignatius read in, you know, 1500s, and so it isn't absolutely essential. I mean, you could have a bulletin with the readings in it, you know, that you throw in the trash. But there's just something about having that that like I said, beautiful, physical, tangible reminder of the church's liturgical year. And as we know theologically, you know, the liturgy draws us into heaven in a very real way.
Mm-hmm.
We're participating in the heavenly liturgy, and having a book that's a reference to that is awesome. And I find that when I read the scriptures, like let's just say I just sit down with the Bible and, you know, open up to Romans and start reading, it's easy to miss some really powerful passages because it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking quantity rather than quality. But there's, when I open a missal and I'll read the same passage I may have read in my Bible, but it's so condensed, like the church has selected this reading in these verses for this feast. And it takes on such power in that condensed format. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes a word or a phrase will strike you that you've never noticed before. Because there's a limited quantity there, and you have to focus on what's there. You mm-hmm. can't you can't just skip on to another chapter. You have to meditate on what's there. So I find the daily readings to be really powerful.
Yeah. That's a good point. Like, if I sit down and read a couple chapters, I sometimes I don't get as much out of it as at breakfast when I just read the daily readings. Because I think it's exactly what you just said, is that, you know, this short snippet, that's all I'm reading. I'm focusing on this. Whereas the chapter, it's like, now it's more like story time, you know, if I'm reading the Gospels especially. Mm-hmm. And I just don't focus on this is the one line Jesus said, you know.
Right.
And boom, let that really impact me.
What's awesome as well is that it takes all the hard work out of it, especially with typology.
You know what you need? You need a Kindle. I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's like that was a buzzkill.
It takes all the hard work out of it, is what you said. So.
Well, I was meaning more as far as like integrating like the Old Testament and the New Testament together.
Yeah.
You know, the Psalms and the first reading and the Gospel, they all have a connection, and it's mm-hmm. like, I didn't even realize reading the Psalms that this could be pertaining towards this in the New Testament, or
totally.
This is, you know, revealed in the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
Here, you know, so that's kind of one of the beautiful things about it as well, is something that I wouldn't be able to do on my own, because I don't have the time. I'm not a theologian,
right.
And so I don't have the time to sit there and look at, okay, this passage in the New Testament really refers to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, which David talks about in the Psalms here, you know, and it's just like it connects it all for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is really cool too, and I've seen that as well. How scripture really is all woven together and it's all one piece, but we love to think Old Testament has nothing to do with the New, but we know that's not true.
Isn't it a different God in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
No, but another thing that I think, if you're going to get a missal, I got my wife one a couple years ago, and it has the English and the Latin Mass in it. And for me, if I go to the Latin Mass, I need a missal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be totally lost, you know. And
even
I'm
with
like,
a missal, a lot of times I'm totally lost.
Sometimes that can be the case.
I mean,
sure, yeah, it takes practice, but
I was over there in Latin Mass, and we were with our buddy Thomas Lackey, and he was like, I was going through it, and I was like, I think I'm on the right page. And Thomas looks over, and he's like, flips three pages, and I was like, oh, I was on the wrong page.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, and if you don't have it, you're going to be the last one to kneel.
Yeah.
At that, you know, that one time where you kneel for like, or the few, you know, every now and then you kneel for a few seconds, stand, but like, you're kneeling as everyone else is standing up from kneeling because you were late.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, when we first started going to that Mass, we made the mistake of sitting in the front row, so we couldn't see what everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Classic. And we were like just standing there, you know, turn around and everybody's sitting down. Oh my word. You know, they could feel your face getting hot.
Sit down, hurry. Yeah. Everybody sit down. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's crucial, but I think that it's also good. Even if you don't get a chance to go to the daily Mass, it's good to have this with you. So that way you can reflect on the daily readings, you know, in the morning time or at work or, you know, during lunch, whenever you have the opportunity together with your family at night, you know, it's just good to be able to be on the same page with the church. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the man's topic. We're going to talk a little bit about our resolutions or our holy strategies for this year.
Yes.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And our glass is full with Lefroy Caritas, which is Gaelic for friendship. We just got done talking about the missal, the daily missal that we think every man should have. And Dave and Sam, I want to let you know, Dave, I know you don't know this because you don't do social media very, very much or very well.
Okay.
Just get that out.
Just get that out of the way.
We got that out in the open.
But we had our first Twitter poll this last week on the Catholic Man Show to try. I wanted to see.
You're right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew you didn't. But I wanted to see when people prayed habitually. You know, when it was their routinely prayer time. And the four options were early morning, in the car, at work, or in the evenings with family. And over 300 people submitted their answer.
And the winner is?
The winner was early morning.
Hmm.
About 48 or 49% were early morning. And then the least was at work. Like 4% was at work.
I can see that being the least.
Yeah, me too.
Unless you're a priest or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's tough to get around it then, you know.
But I thought it was just interesting to see, you know, when people's habitual prayer time was, you know, whether it was early morning, because that was like one thing that I'm trying to work on. But anyway, early morning. But I also wanted to see
or doing anything in the early morning for
you. Yeah, doing anything in the early morning for me. But I wanted to see also if people were praying in the car.
Yeah,
which is
I always do.
Yeah, time that I do, but and then also family at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank you.
Was there like an all of the above option?
Okay, so I knew that somebody was gonna be like, you know, I do this and this and this, and so every time somebody said that, I said you must be Catholic with your and both ands, you know, is how I'd reply. Uh-huh.
Hey, we're told to pray without ceasing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I select all the poll options.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. We got a couple of those as well. So.
I reject your poll.
Yeah. But I just was curious on how people would react to that, and I was actually kind of surprised. I didn't think that early morning was going to be the landslide winning one.
It seems to be the most highest recommended time to pray.
Even by saints.
Well, yeah, and I find too, I get tunnel vision. So like when I'm praying the rosary in the car or something.
Right.
Oh man, drivers, watch out. Buckle up. Drive safe. Drive defensively, because I may be in your lane going the opposite direction. So praying in the car, I've tried it. Just it doesn't work for me. I have to focus on driving.
Sam arrives at work and realizes he opens his eyes for the first time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So our main topic today, we're going to talk about New Year resolutions, or I don't really like to call it.
Let's
New
Year. Let's call it something better.
Holy strategies.
Yeah.
Is what I like to call it. And here's why. Here's why I don't like resolutions is because a lot of times when you say the word resolute, like New Year's resolutions, everybody goes to, I got to lose weight this year. That seems like to be like the one New Year's resolution that everybody takes.
Except for me, because I don't have any weight to
or
lose.
Or me, so me like, as well. But, I mean, that's the majority, right?
My goal is to gain weight in the new year.
I feel you, man. But, you know, that is not, like, really the whole purpose of it. Because that's kind of a very interior, like, that's kind of a selfish thing.
Well, I mean, losing weight.
Is a good thing.
If you need to lose weight, it's a good goal.
Right.
You know, like,
but I think,
don't want to put that goal down because.
I don't either, but I think that it'd be. I like the idea for New Year's resolutions being how much can you help yourself, but how much can you help others?
Mm-hmm.
Think about if we had New Year's resolutions for, I'm gonna have a resolution to help other people. That would, like, it's kind of the pay it forward idea, right?
Yeah.
It would change the world, literally. I mean, I know that's simplistic, but it would change the world if we all focused on having resolutions for others instead of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So we're gonna call it Holy Strategies because it's. Sounds more masculine. Mm-hmm. It sounds more Catholic than resolutions.
I like Catholic things.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Jesus was pretty Catholic.
Super Catholic.
He's like in a very Jewish way. He was super Catholic.
I think all of us are in a very Jewish way, super Catholic.
That's true. But he was like definitely Jewish, just so you know.
Yeah. So Dave, let me ask you, what is a holy strategy that you're going to be doing in 2017?
Well, I would like to change some of my adoration, the way I spend adoration time.
Okay.
Right now, basically what I do is I show up, I'll pray a rosary, and then I'll read. You know, it's always do spiritual reading, sometimes from the Bible, often from books written by saints, just various things. But what I don't do a whole lot of is spend time in meditation. So I would like to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to talk today about.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just a strategy. I mean, I guess holy strategy involves, it kind of implies a plan.
Right.
But to increase my prayer life, not necessarily in quantity, because actually, I think what I may have to do is say, some of these devotions that I'm doing, I need to give them up. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh, hurry and do this, almost like it's an obligation and not a real prayer. You know, like, oh, I've got to, this is when I do this. And, you know, it's like so
regiment that you,
all the time, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't actually pray when I'm doing some of these. So that's what I want to do. It's my holy strategy.
What about you, Sam?
Well, ironically enough, one of the ones is to get up earlier
mm-hmm.
so I can have that prayer time. Now, that is very challenging with kids because
mm-hmm.
if I get up at 5 in the morning, they get up at 5 in the morning. But if I sleep till 7, they sleep till 7. So it's like, what's the point of getting up at 5 in the morning if the kids are going to be bouncing out my head anyway? So anyway, but the point is, I want to get up earlier. I want to try to find that focus time to really pray, because the day goes so fast. Like,
yeah.
Especially if you have kids, it's just everything's coming at you at once, and before you know it, it's bedtime for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and you got like that little 2-hour window at the end of the day where you can spend time with your wife or relax,
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's we need that time set aside for God, and carve it out. We carve out time for all kinds of other things. So my goal this year is really to get up earlier, and maybe getting up earlier doesn't work. Maybe it's not the ultimate solution, but I want to make that time for God. That's
mm-hmm.
really the point. And I want to pray the rosary more consistently. Like I've really grown to love the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, you know, especially earlier in my conversion, where I found it really kind of a chore, really
yeah.
repetitive, and I just didn't enjoy it. But the more I've prayed it, the more I want to pray it. And so, you know, maybe if I can consistently praying, you know, the 5 decades, we pray the rosary as a family, but I'm talking about individually. Like if I'm praying those 5 decades during the day, and maybe I find time for an extra one.
Sure.
Just throw in an extra decade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just kind of builds on it. And I think that for me, that would be an awesome goal, would be to pray maybe one more decade of the rosary than I have been
mm-hmm.
by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And just really set aside that extra time for God. And you know, I think like 30 minutes would be awesome to just as a starting point, you know, just
mm-hmm.
to say,
absolutely.
This time is God's and I'm going to set it aside. Even if that means, you know, putting off something else that I want to do, just a small sacrifice to show our love for our Lord.
So Sam, getting up earlier, let me make a suggestion to you that your New Year's or your holy strategy is not actually to get up earlier. It's to learn to get up quieter.
Hey, that's a good one.
That's really what I think that you need to work on.
Like, but I'm telling you, these kids, they have
a sixth sense.
Superhuman hearing. Like, you put on your robe, they hear the
yeah.
sound, they hear it rustling, and they are out of bed, banging on your door. It's unbelievable. But
that's hilarious.
It's like, go kids, go back to bed. Play in your room. This is me time. So. Me and God time, I should say.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Some of mine, mine is also getting up early.
Mm-hmm.
I have three that I wanted to do this year that I was like, I'm trying to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
One was getting up early. And when I was getting up early this last week and I was reading some of the scripture, Catholics are allowed to read the scripture. We don't have to
yeah.
have the priests
no.
read it to us.
You have a Bible?
We have a Bible. I actually
Protestant.
Have multiple Bibles. Yeah, no. I have multiple Bibles in my house.
How many chains does it have on it? Do you keep it keep it chained up?
No.
Does
no,
the Pope have to unlock it?
No. Yeah. No, he does not have to. I have it. It's available.
You got that kind of
readily
authority.
Available.
You got permission.
I have permission. So I was reading it, and I was reading in the chapter of Matthew. Yeah, reading it. You know,
the chapter of Matthew?
No, the Gospel of Matthew.
Okay.
I'm sorry. In one of the chapters of Matthew, when Jesus is talking about let your no's be no and your yes be yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was talking about oaths there.
Yeah, you don't need to be swearing for everything.
Right,
you know.
But it kind of brought me back into, like, I have this really bad habit of people asking me, you know, hey, you want to do this on Friday? And it's like, yeah, maybe. And I know good and well, I really have no intentions of doing that on Friday with them.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at doing that of over saying yes too much.
Uh-huh.
That's really what it is. Is saying yes too much to the church, to the community, to my family, and I'm just saying yes so much to the point where I know that I'm really not going to say, really not going to do that.
Yeah. I feel you on that.
And so absolutely. I'm really trying to say, you know, let my yeses be yeses, 100%. I'm in 100%, and my no's be, I'm really sorry, but I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of one of my other ones. The other one, really quick, is just review my finances every Sunday night. Something that I haven't been doing and I need to do. Review my finances, making sure everything's in check. So when we get back, we'll continue this discussion. We're with Sam Guzman of Catholic Gentlemen, CatholicGentlemen.com. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Man Show. I'm David Niles. Adam told me to bring us in using my grit voice. So that was it. Now you've heard it. We're on
Welcome
the Lord's
back.
It's almost more like WWE.
Yeah.
Are we about to get in a cage match? Or
can you smell what the Man Show is cooking? That's as pro wrestling as I can get right there.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, but actually, speaking of pro wrestling, the guy who does our warning,
yeah,
at the beginning, the like warning, you know, that's he is the voice of WWE. Actually,
incident. Oh my word, that is like totally epic.
Yeah, I know.
That's why when we got it, this is like we're playing this every episode at the beginning of our episodes because it is awesome.
He's also the epic movie trailer guy.
Yeah, one of them. There's a
couple
lot.
Of them. Yeah.
He does this summer.
Right.
Yeah.
In a world filled, you know.
So we're here with Sam Guzman from the Catholic Gentleman. We're actually going to be doing a Facebook Live with our friends of the show after this episode and have just more of a conversation with Sam. So it's an opportunity for you guys to become a friend of the show if you haven't already.
And speaking of our friends of the show, they know this already because I already posted this on our private friends of the show group. But we just, this last Sunday, celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, this is something that I think my dad has really studied a lot growing up. So I just wanted to share this, that the profession, I just find this super interesting. The profession of fireman actually comes from the wise men or the three kings, whatever you want to call them. They were actually some of the first firemen ever recorded in history. And this is all based on biblical evidence. Because if you read it in the Gospel of Luke, it says that they came from afar. And so we know that they must be.
I knew that's where
you're
going
with that.
That's
in your southern accent, though.
Yeah, they came from
afar. The house is on fire.
Right, they came from afar.
I knew that's where that was going. I started shaking my head halfway through this.
We three kings of Orient are
bearing gifts. We traverse
afar.
We put out
chewing on a rubber cigar. It was loaded and it exploded. And that's how we traveled so far.
Oh man!
I just wanted to bring back a joke of the week. Like you've
good.
Been slacking.
I have been
big
slacking.
Time, bro.
Maybe that should be one of my holy strategies: is add a Catholic joke.
Holy strategy, week. 2017. Be funnier.
Yeah, people tell me I'm funny.
No,
people.
Dude.
People.
I meant to say punny. Okay, I did not mean to say funny. I mean,
okay. I think this Lefroy here is getting to us.
Okay, let's
okay.
Let's reel it
back
in.
Okay,
let's reel it back in.
Bring it back to home base.
Okay, we're talking about holy strategies for 2017. We just laid out how each of us are like our goals or our strategies for 2017, and now we're going to talk about how to make that happen.
Okay, mm-hmm. So this is part of Sam's brilliance, I believe. Holy strategies, holy goals, kind of same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're picking out a goal, make it a SMART goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's an acronym. double check me here, Sam. Okay, SMART stands for specific,
mm-hmm.
measurable,
mm-hmm.
attainable,
mm-hmm.
realistic,
mm-hmm.
and time sensitive.
Yes.
Time. What is it?
Timely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So make it something.
Well done.
A specific goal. Make it something that is you can actually measure, like be funnier. That's
right.
Not something that's very difficult to measure. I mean,
well,
I guess you could
every
laugh.
Episode
you
I could,
if
I can
say three jokes per episode.
Well, and
if we did three jokes per episode, we'd have zero listeners by the end of 2017.
Let's be clear: more jokes does not mean funnier. Okay, you could measure. You could like count laughs per day that
yeah.
you get. Okay, so that would be a way to measure it.
Yeah.
Attainable, like can you do it? Like. Could you be funnier like me? I don't know if I could be any funnier, okay? I am just super funny.
And humble.
And my humility, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
They yeah. go hand in hand. My yeah. humility and my humor.
Laughter and humility.
Yeah, like, yeah, humility, humor. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then realistic, like.
It's just not realistic for me to be funny. Is that what you're going to
well,
say?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, it's kind of borderline, okay? And then timely, like, by this date. Is that. Did I?
Yes.
You think I described that?
You did. You did.
Good.
You did great.
So as it. So
all right, I'm going to check out now, guys.
Okay, we'll see you later,
just
Dave.
Just take it on.
So let's reel it back for a Catholic man. What are your thoughts on how, like, a goal for a Catholic man, how he could walk through that?
Yeah, I think this applies to any kind of goal. But, like, let's say your goal is to pray the rosary. And right now, you're not praying it at all. You never pray the rosary. You know, you have one hanging from your mirror in your car, but you just don't pick it up. So how could we apply SMART goals to praying the rosary? Well, it has to be specific. I want to pray how many decades? One? Maybe that's...
Yeah. Start it out with one.
I think that's a good way to start out. You can do one... It takes about 4 minutes to do one decade.
Yeah. You can. Anybody can do one decade. Okay, so specific. Set a specific, clear goal. I want to do one decade. It has to be measurable, all right? Well, one decade is measurable. You can check that off.
Right.
You can measure that success or failure.
Mm-hmm.
Attainable. Is that realistic for me? Or is that something that I can actually do based on my schedule and all my commitments in life? Is that an attainable goal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can carve out 4 minutes.
Right. So the counterexample would be, you know, if you wanted to try to do this and be like, I'm gonna pray all four mysteries every single day. That's what I'm gonna do.
20 decades a day.
20
starting
decades.
Starting tomorrow.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's not really attainable.
That's not attainable.
Right. No.
Well, I mean,
it's.
But it's not for somebody.
Depends
who
on your state in life.
But
for
a
retired person, it's very attainable. For you know, like us, we all have small young families. I mean, it's not necessarily attainable.
Dude, let me just tell you really quick. I went to my grandparents' house this weekend, and at the end of the night, you know, we were like, okay, let's, you know, we got the kids to bed, and hey, let's pray a rosary. And I was like, okay, it's Friday night. That's the Sorrowful Mysteries. You guys ready? And my grandparents looked at me and go, well, we pray all of the mysteries every day. You know, they're like, it doesn't matter.
They do?
Yeah,
they do that.
They,
see?
That's what they do.
I told you.
And I was like, well, how about we pray the Sorrowful tonight? Cause, anyway, it was. But my grandparents are very holy people.
Yes.
But I mean,
they
I'm just
look
saying,
at you. We can start with those if you want.
Yeah, but they were very confused. Like, why are we just doing? You know. Anyway.
Wow, that is seriously impressive.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
But yeah,
keep
I mean, it has to be attainable based on your state in life, and then you know, realistic too. It must be, and you have to be willing and able to accomplish it. Again, just doing 20 decades. Tomorrow is not realistic, especially if you're not praying any of them right now.
Right. If you don't have a foundation, you're not going to be able to just jump in. It's like weightlifting. You're not going to be able to lift 500 pounds mm-hmm. starting out when you first get there.
Right. Yeah.
And attainable and realistic, I think those are kind of similar.
They're very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, timely too, meaning set a time frame for it. You know, maybe first quarter, like let's say by March of this year, I want to be praying 2 decades
mm-hmm.
every single day, and then work towards it. You start with your one, and you nail that one for a month or 2 months until it becomes a habit, and then you build on it. You add another one, and you set a time frame for that. So you have a specific goal. It's realistic. You know you can do it, and It's measurable. You can measure your success or your failure. Mm-hmm. And you have a time frame by which you want to accomplish this. I mean, just saying, I want to pray the rosary every day is a recipe for failure unless you set those parameters and break it down and make it concrete. You know, another possible meaning for the T in the SMART acronym could be tangible. It's something that's so specific and clear-cut that you could take a video camera and record yourself doing it. You know.
Okay.
So tangible. Make it something. You know, I want to pray more is not a goal. Right. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Right.
So set those parameters, and you're setting yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. Now, you still have to follow through, and you still have to put forth the effort. But when those things are in place, it makes the goal much more effective.
And some of the things that you were talking about through the break was how to do that, and that's with the Catholic Planner, maybe.
Yeah.
That would be a great way to have a checks and balances.
Yeah, we had kind of a funny moment between over the break where we all kind of at the same time thought, like, the Catholic Planner would be awesome for helping you attain your goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the checklist and everything. Yeah. We know Catholics love checklists because we're earning our way to heaven, but I'm just kidding.
Well,
that was my attempt to be more humorous this year.
Speak for yourself. I mean, I have a specific contract. Okay.
And no, he does not. He does not. We're just going to kill that right now. Anyway, we're coming up really close to the end. So I think that the Catholic Planner is a great way to make sure that you're having checks and balances. I also think that it's really good to get your wife involved, to make sure that your family is involved. If it's, you know, to increase your family prayer life, you know, get your kids involved. Oh, your kids will hold you accountable a lot. You know, if you have a little older kids, you know, my kids aren't quite old enough, but if you have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, you know, if you start implementing a prayer life, mm-hmm. You know, Dad, it's prayer time. You know, it's time to pray the rosary. It's like, you're right. We need to start doing it. So I think it's really important to get your wife and kids involved.
Yeah, it's like 9 a.m. every day. My little 3-year-old comes running in a panic, like, we forgot to do our morning prayer. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry.
Let's stop and do it right now.
We can do it right now.
Yeah.
Actually, some of the best advice I've received is that if you have a goal, tell your kids, this is an extreme example of this, but like, say, we're going to go to Disneyland if Dad is able to do achieve these things. Like,
now, is that realistic?
I mean, the Disneyland is the extreme, but like, you know, we're going to go fishing or, you know, something like this. If Dad can do all of these things, because then your kids will hold you accountable.
Accountability is key.
Yeah.
We got to thank Sam Guzman, the Catholic Gentleman, for joining us today. CatholicGentleman.com is his website. Dave, it's been a great episode. I've enjoyed it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise our glasses.
Cheers to Jesus.